time to ponder politics a little bit with Gene Pawlowski. Joins us every Monday here on the program during the legislative session. And Gene, we were just saying off air that we were hoping it was going to get a little warmer. It looks like Friday we could be in the upper 40s, maybe even 50 degrees. So we'll have to hope for that, right?
Well, I hope so, because I had put my snowblower away. That was a mistake. Then I was going to put my shovel away. Thankfully, I did not.
Yeah.
And I was already looking at lighter sweaters for the golf season to start.
Yep.
And that was a mistake.
I think we got teased by that kind of false spring we had for a week or 10 days there. You know, we were all expecting maybe a spring was going to start. And I did the same thing. And then I looked at the calendar and I'm like, well, it's only mid-February. Spring can't possibly stick around in mid-February. So I think, you know, I kind of knew on some level that was a false spring, but I was really hoping that maybe it would be the real spring. But winter certainly comes back, but maybe we'll ultimately have an early spring, but we never know. Things heating up, Gene, at the Capitol, though. Things got pretty fast and furious, I think, at least, you know, posturing and that kind of thing here last week as the session started. What did you see over the first couple of days of the session that were of note to you?
Well, the first day was probably one of the classiest days I've ever seen in the legislature, the memorial for Melissa Hortman and her husband. It was a joint session of the House and Senate. They had a limited number of speeches, Republican and Democrats. The governor came over. They had a resolution that both Democrats and Republicans got to read the whereases, and then everyone had a rose and walked out and put the rose on Melissa Hortman's desk. And I thought, boy, that is really something special. It's a great way to start the session. And then, of course, the next day, everything fell apart. We had one chair in the House who ruled a delete everything amendment in committee out of order and then just adjourned the committee. That was it. It was done. Mm-hmm. You went to the House floor and you had another member apparently speaking too long, and it sounded like British Parliament with both sides making comments, which is unheard of, really, in the Minnesota House. The only person that should be speaking is the Speaker. So they went from the highest level to the lowest level in 24 hours.
Mm. What was the committee that that just wrapped up without any discussion, really? What was the deal there?
It was civil law, I think, and they just had every committee's tied except for the fraud committee.
Mm-hmm.
So you really don't have a vote to do anything if the partisanship stays, and that's really unfortunate. It's going to be a tough session. And this week, of course, the budget forecast comes at the end of this week.
Right.
And that will be the final number that will be used. And we already know there's going to be no ongoing spending. And if there's one-time spending, it's going to be limited to this cycle.
Right. Yeah, that was one thing I wanted to bring up with you. Gene Pawlowski, our guest, served in the Minnesota House for 38 years, joins us most Mondays here on the program to talk politics. Yeah, so the next budget outlook for the state of Minnesota will be announced on Friday and should give us somewhat of an updated idea on what the financial strain is going to be. Now, the last budget forecast in November showed a $2.5 billion surplus for 26-27, but that $3 billion deficit for 2028-2029. What do you think we'll learn, Gene, from the budget outlook when it comes out here on Friday at the end of the week?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to have much improvement at all. You know, the national economy has been rather stagnant, so I think it's probably going to be the same reflected here. But the major issue is you only have one-time money to spend.
Right.
The only thing you can really spend one-time money on would be capital investment or building projects, and that takes 81 votes in the House. It has to start in the House, and considering how this past week went, it doesn't look very good for a capital investment or a bonding bill.
What happens to that money if it's not spent, the one-time money?
The one-time money would carry forward,
okay,
and we'll see what the projection even is on the one-time money.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be an interesting forecast coming up, because the economy is changing. And remember, with what's happened with tariffs now, how does that impact to Minnesota? And we don't know. Maybe we won't even know in the forecast, but certainly it might change things.
Yeah, I wonder if you would break that down a bit, Gene, because the financial strain on Minnesota, and I would assume on a lot of states, I think, is driven by federal cuts, right? And some of the things that have happened at the federal level. Can you just kind of, you know, succinctly break down how that, you know, how things on the federal level filter down to a state level?
Well, in just Health and Human Services, there's hundreds of millions we know that Minnesota is going to get hit with. Now, that's outside tariffs. That's just Health and Human Service funding that comes from the feds. Mm-hmm. When we're looking at other things that might impact us, such as the goods leaving Minnesota or the purchasing of goods in Minnesota, that depends on how we're going to read those projections. And if the tariffs come off, that may be an increase in revenue. But again, that just happened. I don't know if they can project that in the forecast for Friday.
U.S. Supreme Court, of course, striking down the tariffs that the Trump administration had imposed over the past year. And there were some reports that I saw the average household had experienced an estimated increase of about $1,000 to $1,500 in annual expenses because of the tariffs. Are you familiar, Gene? Because I had seen this mentioned and I didn't read a lot about it, but there was a professor up at St. Benedict's and St. John's that said that the administration, the Trump administration, had based its authority for the tariffs on a 1977 law called the International Emergency Economic Powers Act. Are you familiar with this act at all?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
And I think it probably would take a university professor to be familiar with it.
That's probably true, yeah. Apparently, the act gives presidents the power to impose trade embargoes on foreign countries, but does not authorize the use of tariffs, which I think was kind of the basis for the U.S. Supreme Court to strike down the tariffs, you know, basically that the Trump administration had used this act in a way that it was not meant to be used. But yeah, you're probably right. That's probably something that only a university professor can understand. Go ahead.
Jason, on tariffs, though, I thought the most intriguing part of that Supreme Court decision was the Supreme Court told the president how to do tariffs, and that is to have Congress pass them.
Right.
I thought that was a little civics lesson for the executive branch.
Yeah, it really was. And yeah, I mean, it's another one of these things with this administration where it's, you know, if people are familiar with Seinfeld, the show Seinfeld, it's like the bizarro world sometimes. You know, it's like it's this way one day or one week and it's another way the next week. And it's hard to just kind of keep track of it all, to be honest. But we do the best we can. You mentioned the legislative session starting with a tribute to the Hortmans and the Hoffmans. Now, another thing that Governor Walz and some Democrats are pushing for this session is gun control legislation. And from what I'm hearing, that has little to no chance of passing. What have you, what do you know about, you know, the possibility of maybe some kind of gun control regulation passing this session?
No, I've heard the same thing from members, that mm-hmm. there's just no hope. You're dealing with tied committee votes here, and there isn't going to be, I mean, it could be heard in committee. It isn't going to be passed out of committee.
Yeah.
And I'm just talking about the House side. I think in the Senate, it's probably the same thing is true because you have a one vote margin in the Senate. And what we're talking about, you and I, is, of course, the election coming up. And right. The election just stains everything this session.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah, I mean, it kind of just handcuffs us, you know, more than we usually are, I think, and just increases the divisiveness and the partisan politics, you know, when you have the election looming. I think you and I have talked about this before, Gene, you know, maybe briefly, but you think about the, you know, the political violence that we saw with the Hortmans and the Hoffmans. You think about the Annunciation school shooting, the tragedy up there at the Annunciation Catholic School and Church. To me, those are events that it seems like would push gun safety legislation forward, right? Would almost take partisan politics out of it. But even something like that, even tragedies like that, don't seem to move the needle on things like that. Why is gun control legislation and gun safety legislation, why is that such a difficult hump to get over when it comes to passing some kind of meaningful legislation?
Jason, I wish I knew, because I agree with you wholeheartedly on this one. When you're killing children in a church, I think we've gone way too far. And I don't understand the need to have those weapons or how you're going to use those weapons in any productive way. So I agree fully with you. I was not, you know, the Second Amendment is the Second Amendment. But on the other hand, I don't see the need to have guns in churches. I don't see the need to have a gun when you're shopping at the grocery store. And apparently I'm in the minority.
Yeah, and I guess I am too. And look, I know lots of people who enjoy shooting for recreation. Obviously, we know here in Minnesota how important and how ingrained in the culture hunting is and all those kind of things. And that's great. And I, you know, I'm totally supportive of that. But I feel like there needs to be some kind of a common sense legislation passed, you know, common sense laws passed to just really reduce the possibility of some of these tragedies happening in the future. But we see these things happen all the time, Gene. You know, it's not just here in Minnesota. It's been going on for years and years all over our country. And it just, I don't know. It's just amazing to me that nothing seems to move the needle when it comes to any kind of meaningful gun legislation. And unfortunately, as you say, you know, how close we are in the House and Senate in Minnesota right now, I don't think it's going to pass either. So anything else going on this week that you're looking forward to or keeping an eye on, except the with the exception, of course, of the budget forecast coming out at the end of the week?
Well, we're only really into a week tomorrow when session started. The House has already introduced over 200 bills. And remember, there's 134 members. So they've already introduced 200 bills. They're not at a record-breaking point yet, but they're very close. Mm-hmm. And the Senate has actually introduced more bills than the House, and they have half as many members. So I don't know if you can take comfort in the fact that everybody is putting in at least one bill, and it looks like in the House they're putting in 1.5 bills each in the first week. And the fact remains that you can't even get a bill out of committee.
Right. The bill writing bonanza starts again, as we always talk about. And as you always say, Gene, the possibility of any of those actually making it out of committee or becoming law or making it to the governor's desk are slim to none, right?
Slim to none, but you know, the reality is they put the bill in, they have a press conference, and, you know, apparently that's as good as actually having it sent to the governor and signed into law. I always thought it wasn't, but again, I'm in the minority on that one, too.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Gene, great stuff as always. You have a fabulous week. We always appreciate you, and we will talk to you next Monday. Thanks a lot, my friend.
Thank you, Jason. Stay warm.
You too. That is Gene Pulowski, represented Winona and Winona County at the Minnesota House for 38 years, joins us every Monday here on the program. Pulowski ponders politics for us here once a week on KWNO.